Part 2. Chapter 9. Covenant Holy City, High Charity, 23rd Age of Doubt. The minister of fortitude had smoked too much. He rarely partook in stimulants, the powerful hookah tobaccos favored by his senior staff. But the previous night's conclave had dragged on, and he'd needed something to keep himself awake during the statistic-heavy discussion. Now the minister's head was seized with a terrible, retributive ache. Never again, he vowed, narrowing his heavy-lidded eyes and massaging his long, lateral neck. If only the cleric would hurry up and finish his remedy. Like most Covenant technology, the Sanshum cleric's herbal synthesizer was hidden behind a natural facade, in this case the polished onyx walls of his cell. The mottled stonework shone in the light of a single hologram high above, a canopy of diamond-shaped leaves that rustled in a simulated breeze. A zinc counter stretched across the cell and was built high enough to accommodate the fact that both Sanshum, like every other mature member of their species, sat in anti-gravity chairs high above the floor. "It is done," the cleric said, removing an agate-colored sphere from the synthesizer's delivery tube. Cupping the sphere in his long, thin fingers, he turned his stone chair back toward the counter, placed the sphere in a black marble mortar, and tapped it with a matching pestle. The sphere shattered, giving off a whiff of peppermint and exposing a collection of leaves and small berries. As the cleric started grinding, Fortitude sat a little straighter in his silver chair's plump crimson cushions and breathed in the medicinal smell. The older Sanshum's withered arms twisted inside his woolen shift as he worked the ingredients into a rough powder, an effort that shook the sparse white hairs that hung from his pale neck like the mane of an old bedraggled horse. The minister's light brown skin was, by comparison, completely denuded. The only hair on his body curled from a darker wattle beneath his salamandrine lips. But even those hairs were closely trimmed. This careful grooming, combined with bright red robes that flowed over the minister's knees to his gnarled feet, was evidence he did not share the cleric's asceticism, a style of worship that advocated extreme humility in the presence of forerunner technology, such as the synthesizer. And yet, the minister mused, already starting to feel some relief just from the remedy's scent, when the great journey begins, we will all walk the path together. This direct quote from Covenant Scripture summarized the faith's core promise. Those who showed appropriate reverence for the forerunners and their sacred creations would inevitably share a moment of transcendence, would journey beyond the boundaries of the known universe just as the forerunners had many ages ago. Promised godhood was a message with broad appeal, and all were welcome to join the covenant so long as they accepted the Sanshum's sole authority to investigate and distribute holy relics. Although the covenant was focused on the hereafter, its member species still had mortal desires for wealth, power, and prestige, all of which the right forerunner technology could provide. It was the Ministry of Fortitude's responsibility to balance all these competing wants, to decide, simply put, who got what. And it was the latest round in this ongoing effort that had left its leader with such a terrific headache. Just as the noise of the pestle started to grate on the tympanic slits in the back of Fortitude's skull, the cleric emptied his mortar onto a square of white cloth spread on the counter. "Let it steep as long as you like. The longer the better, of course." The cleric tied the prescription into a sachet and pushed it gently across the counter. "Blessings on your day, minister," he said, with a sympathetic smile. "I shall step forward," Fortitude grimaced, though today a bit more delicately than usual. As the minister swept the prescription into his lap, he made a mental note to scan it before brewing. Given the controversial nature of his work, assassination was always a possibility, and unremitting caution a requirement of office. Fortitude drummed his fingers against panels of orange-on-blue holographic switches built into his throne's rounded arms, giving the device a new destination. The throne pivoted smartly away from the counter and accelerated through the cell's triangular entry hall. Running lights winking in the darkly mirrored stone, the chair turned a quick series of corners and exited into High Charity's majestic interior. Viewed from a distance, the Covenant capital city was reminiscent of a jellyfish adrift in a midnight sea. Its single large dome topped a massive chunk of rock, honeycombed with hangar bays and carefully shielded weapons platforms. Long, semi-rigid umbilicals trailed behind the rocky base, where countless ships were docked like so many stunned fish. Commercial vessels mainly, but also the enormous cruisers and carriers of High Charity's defensive fleet. Despite their size, dozens of the warships could have fit inside the dome, which was so spacious it was difficult to see from one side to the other, especially in the early hours of a cycle when the air was thick with cyan banks of fog. In addition to serving as the Covenant spacefaring capital, High Charity was also home to large populations of each of its species. All rubbed shoulders here, and this concentration of physiologies created a cosmopolitan atmosphere unique among the Covenant's other habitats. The airspace inside the dome was thick with creatures coming and going from their employment, a twice-daily commute triggered by the brightening and dimming of a luminous disk set into the apex of the dome, the city's artificial star.